know I gotta let that run just a little bit because we are definitely bad to the bone. You are listening to the Sideline Sports Call-In Show. We're back at the top of hour number two, folks. We're live and personal with you on 1180 AM KLAY. Once again, I am one of your two hosts, the Friday Night Delight. Tony, sitting across from my co-host.
The other six night delight, that's Pete.
When it works, it works.
Time to do our
4 o'clock shout.
There we go.
We are going to be joined shortly by the coach of the Cobras, just shortly. But right now, we got our 4 o'clock shout. We're going to give a shout out to Eric. Eric holding it down. Eric Upchurch, the owner of the Goodfellas Barbershop, located at 1001 South J, South 11th Street, which is off the corner of 11th and J in Tacoma. And giving a big shout out to Eric. And we're also giving a shout out to Michael Jordan, the GM over at the Longhorn Barbecue, located in Auburn. A few weeks ago, what I mentioned to my co-host, as well as the listeners, is that we're going to start a promo for you guys. It is called the Sideline Tab, where you get to know us a little better, and I like to say, eat like me. So, the first one that we're bringing out in participation is our good friends at the Longhorn Barbecue.
Oh, and you got one already?
Yes, we do.
Oh, very good.
The Longhorn Barbecue. I have a gift card for one of our listeners coming up here soon. And that was all made possible by Michael Jordan down there at the Longhorn Barbecue. I'll tell you, folks, that's going to be an opportunity for someone to get a good Father's Day gift out. I will be there Sunday night for Father's Day at 7:30. So if you want to come in and join us, we're going to have pictures and stuff that we're going to be doing. They do have a big dueling pianos thing that they do with the two piano players. They also have a drummer there. It's really fun. It's a great family atmosphere. And you will have a terrific time. So I will be there on Father's Day with my father and my family, and hopefully my listeners out there from the station.
Let me give my shout outs real quick before we get to our caller there. I want to say hello to Harry Potter listening to the show today for the first time. Mr. James, thanks for listening. We have Megan in Dallas still listening. Thank you, Megan. Lakeisha in North Carolina. We have Mika right here in Tacoma. Thank you for listening to the show. And what do you want to do, T?
Well, we also have April, who is listening on her way to Eastern Washington to go right. celebrate Father's Day out there on the other side of the state. And
Nick Phillips from CarPros, he's still listening.
Yep, and we also have a shout-out to Mallory from Charlie's over there who's listening. So that wraps up our 4 o'clock shout-out for today. And we are going to get to the caller that we have on the line one. Theo, are you with us?
No, this is Coach Mack of the Cobras.
Coach, okay. Coach, how's it going?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well.
Yeah, okay. So, are you pretty excited today?
I am. I'm looking forward to tomorrow evening.
Yes, definitely. So are we. Tomorrow is the opening home game for the Cobras.
Yes. And we're going to be playing the runners-up from last year, the PDFL.
The Bellingham Blitz. Yes, that looks to be a very exciting game. As we discussed earlier in the week with you on the Cobra Show Monday night, everyone's looking forward to another shutout. Your defense is on a roll, and your offense is hot.
Yes, and we're going to be even more exciting. the player that we were waiting for is back.
The quarterback from overseas.
Yes.
Now you guys
about back and he's playing. So
you guys have outscored your opponents 215, and we're waiting on a player.
Yeah.
How deadly are you guys going to be? Oh my goodness.
The guys are excited. They know what this game means. Bellingham's got a heck of a staff and a heck of a team, so it's going to be a good game.
Coach Mack, I'll tell you, we're going to be doing the PA announcing and the music. We are going to have that place bananas for you guys. We're looking forward to that game. Bellingham, you guys played them three times last year. You beat them all three, but they were the closer games that you guys played. With those games, do you feel you have an advantage now playing them this year to start off your season? How do you like getting that first game, the first home game of the year, out of the way with Bellingham?
I like it. I like challenges. You know, the team likes it. We're anxious. We got everybody in place. You know, it's just going to be an all-out exciting night of football.
Okay, now, as my co-host just touched on a point there, you guys beat them three times last year, including for the championship.
Uh-huh.
How do you stop your players from thinking that, yeah, we got this made, you know, we've already beat these guys three times, we know them inside and out? How do you get them from getting too comfortable?
Because it's hard to beat somebody four times. It's very hard, you know, because just as you spoke on, you know, the players say, okay, we played the best of the best, and we beat them. But the challenge is just to stay focused and finish plays, you know, not make the little mistakes that turn into big things.
Most definitely.
Now, you guys play your home games there, Curtis. We talked about it pretty significantly in the first hour. We're going to touch on it here a little bit later with the scoreboard. Curtis is where you guys play your home games. We're reminding everybody again, 7 o'clock tomorrow. What type, you know, knowing what you guys know going into Bellingham, are you guys changing up from your usual game plan any? Or are you just going to keep going right at them? Because you guys are really balanced when it comes to running the ball and throwing the ball. You kill them either way. Do you have any tweaks that you're doing, you know, now that you're facing Bellingham, or are you just going with your usual game plan?
No. You know, if it's not broke, we're not going to fix it. You know, we're just going to get better at what we do, and we're going to line up and see if they can stop us.
Okay. Now, we've had the pleasure of seeing you absolutely murder teams on offense just using 8 plays out of your playbook. So are you going to throw the fans a bone and let us see maybe a possible 9th or 10th play?
Yes, I think we're going to open up the playbook this week.
All right. Oh, I can't wait. I'm licking my chops. Oh, man, I can't wait.
You know, one of the reasons that we're so pumped up as broadcasters is this is good football. This isn't a bunch of guys getting together for a rec league on a Saturday afternoon. This is good quality football. We preach that everywhere we go. We're going to let people know. That's got to be a big plus for you as a coach, being in a league where your talent level is so high. That's got to be real good for you.
Yeah, it's always good because, you know, players are trying to get somewhere, and they don't want to play 40-year-old linebackers or, you know, 40-year-old quarterbacks that aren't trying to get where they're trying to get. And so our players, they're pumped, you know, they're excited about playing Bellingham. Portland was a tough team last week. They probably have the best defensive linemen in our league or in the Northwest, period. And so, you know, there's no cupcakes in our league.
Yeah. And now with that in mind, I know with you as a coach and a lot of the staffing members on your coaching staff, and the players involved on the team have to be really excited now that news has broken from the NFL camps that the owners and the players, Players Association and the commissioner are looking into the possibility of bringing some developmental football leagues into the NFL. So
right. That
has to be absolutely astounding news for you guys to hear.
Yeah, it's absolutely just astounding. I mean, it's just a blessing, you know, for us to be one of the first teams to start something like this and just build on it, even though we went through a lot last year of people not believing in us and thinking it's just another semi-pro thing. And we just stuck with it, man, and, you know, hard work always pays off.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys have already done what a lot of people say can't be done. And, you know, most of the startup semi-pro leagues don't make it a full year, let alone a second year. And the second year, you guys are stronger than the first.
Yes. And, you know, as the work gets done and people see the finished product, people are going to start believing in it. And, you know, with the economy the way it is nowadays, you know, it's tough for investors to say, okay, here's this amount of money. I believe in you guys. They want to make sure there's a product that's going to last and be around. And and we understood that. And so we went through the bumps and bruises, and we put in the work that it took, and, you know, this is what we get.
Well, it's just like they say, you get out what you put in.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. If you don't put nothing into it, you don't build a base, there's absolutely nothing going to happen.
Yep. So we're looking forward to everything tomorrow night.
Absolutely.
And we're proud to be able to do the broadcast for you tomorrow night on the Ustream, as well as there live at the stadium.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a blessing for everybody that's involved. It's going to be great having you guys there. We appreciate your support in every way possible. And we just look forward to having a fun night of football.
Okay.
Well, Coach, I know you're busy there attending a practice, so I want to thank you for coming on the air real quick, and we're gonna drive people there by the droves. We're looking forward to a great game tomorrow.
Absolutely, and don't forget to show up at the Ram on the waterfront at 1 o'clock.
That's right. That's tomorrow for the tailgate.
All right.
You got it, Coach?
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. All right, folks, as you hear, we are about to go right into break. That was the coach of the Tacoma Cobras with us. Make sure you get out there and support your Cobras tomorrow. Pete, what time is kickoff?
7 o'clock.
And we will be there. You need to be there. You can join us tomorrow at
Curtis High School.
That's right, folks. The number to join in the fun, 253-584-1480, or toll free from King County, 253-804-5765. We got more sports in about 2 minutes.
Hey, it's Pete from the sideline. You know I have no problem giving my opinion, so here's another opinion just for you. The sideline can make your next wedding, school dance, or any event more memorable. Call us up for info on our mobile DJ service and see what we can do for you. 253-292-7233. That's 253-292-7233. Or check us out online at www.onthesl.com. Bring the sideline to you. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Man, not a whole lot. Trying to put together this stuff my girl bought, but I don't have the time or the patience.
Why don't you just call Northwest Services?
Who?
Northwest Services, the professional assembly guys, commercial or residential. They come out and assemble everything, whether it's lawn and garden equipment like mowers, carts, wheelbarrows, patio, home, or office furniture.
What's their number?
503-266-5833.
Man, thanks a lot. I'm going to call them right now.
In this crazy world of political nonsense, righty this, lefty that, thank God for the Sideline Sports Show. We're bringing harmony to radio and sports. You can tune in and listen to us on Fridays, 3 to 5 p.m.
Folks, we are back. The sideline, 1180 AM KLAY. The numbers to join in the fun, 253-584-1480 if you're local. Toll free, King County, 253-804-5765. If you guys remember, a few weeks back, we did a segment called Tony Cares, in which I brought in a soccer guru. Pete, you have something to say?
Yeah, we never did figure out if you actually wound up caring or not. But over our consequential conversations, we determined that you still do not care.
Well, I care a little more than I ever did before. I cared enough to bring back our proclaimed soccer guru. Folks, joined with us today. He was with us a few weeks ago. I'd like to introduce you to Dave.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Okay. And Dave, tell everybody just a little bit about you. I don't think we got into that. Where can they find you throughout the week?
Oh, I am the graveyard barista at Bertolino's Cafe on Union Street in Tacoma. So pretty much any day in the week, but after 11 o'clock, if you come get a cup of coffee, you can find me. You can come gang up on Tony, teach him what soccer is really about.
Please do. Inform me. Okay. Gang up on me. That'll be the day something like that happens. Okay, so Dave is here to enlighten us as to the goings on with the World Cup. Now, last week, I had this information. I forgot to say it. Something tragic happened there at the start of the games before they even started, and that was the death of Nelson Mandela's daughter.
Right.
Great granddaughter who died in a car crash. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But on to sporting news.
Yeah, that's a tough way to begin probably the biggest party in the world. It's a huge thing this year because this is the first time they're holding the World Cup on African soil. So it was a really big deal. It was a great thing that South Africa could get.
First time on the whole continent?
The whole
continent. Not even like Morocco or anything?
It's been in Europe. It's been in Asia. It's been in South America, North America, Central America.
They've even had it down where the penguins live in Antarctica, folks. It's just now getting to the motherland.
But, yeah, and we've looked at a pretty good week of soccer. I think the biggest news today is the U.S. team's match. This was amazing and frustrating and heart-wrenching. The U.S. came off of a surprising draw against a very difficult England team. England is one of the favorites. They're expected to go really far. But the U.S. team got a 1-1 draw against them last week. So starting this morning, they had their second game in their group. And in their second game, in the first half, they dug themselves in a pretty bad hole. They started out giving up two goals in the first half, one to Walter Bursa and another to, and forgive me, I'm probably going to chop this name up, but Zlatan Ljubičić.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. We're playing against Slovenians. They got names like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're in a pretty big hole. Honestly, I was almost ready to go home and just ignore the rest of the game. Two goals, a pretty big deficit to make up in just a single half of soccer. But we came out strong in the second half. And 3 minutes in after halftime, the U.S. Got on the board with a goal by Landon Donovan coming up from the side. And so that really put some life back in the game, getting people really excited again. In the 80th minute, the U.S. substituted Hercules Gomez for defenseman Oguchi Onyewu. And the reason they did this is kind of a gamble because you're pulling off one of your defenders, you're putting on another attacker. We're behind, but you could very easily give up another goal and just put this game completely out of reach. But the gamble paid off. About 3 minutes later, we put in the equalizing goal. It was Michael Bradley came in off of a soft header from Jozy Altidor and just put it in the back of the net. It was just beautiful. And suddenly we got 10 minutes of game left and we're tied and we can easily take this thing or go with a draw and we'll be happy. But then probably the worst thing I've ever seen happened. It's called I'm calling it the stolen goal. This is just horrible. In the 86th minute, the U.S. picked up a foul pretty deep into Slovenian territory. Mm-hmm. And Landon Donovan sets up, he kicks across, and right as the ball's coming in, suddenly out of nowhere, you got Maurice Adu coming in, kicking in goal. You know, we're in the lead, we got 4 minutes before the game's over, everyone's celebrating, and suddenly the whistle blows, they call the play dead. I don't know. It turns out that the referee saw some foul, and so he just called the play dead, disallowed the goal, took it off the books, and that was that. Well, here's the thing. They show the replay. There is absolutely no fouls going on the U.S. side. Interestingly enough, there are 1,000 fouls on the Slovenian side. I want to say almost every U.S. player was being wrapped up and hugged instead of allowed to run free inside the box. And just completely, you know, not letting us. The only guy who could get open was Maurice Adu, and he's the guy who put the ball in the back of the net. But for some reason, we got the goal taken away.
So basically, to steal one term from a football sport to support another type of football, they got Seahawked.
They got Seahawked bad. This is the worst call I've seen since Super Bowl 40. I mean, This, in fact, I would go as far to say that this call was so bad, it's almost Galarraga bad.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, because this is huge. I mean, you know, the World Cup only happens once every 4 years, and this could very easily cost the U.S. their chance to continue in this tournament.
Yeah, because this is a tough pool. I mean, the pool that the U.S. is in has tied. Did actually, I missed the England game. Did they tie?
They did tie. So, 0-0.
So both, all four teams in this pool are all 0-0-2. So a win today, that third goal could have been a clincher for the U.S. for advancing. So it was a horrible call.
Yeah.
Okay, so help me understand. Is this a one-and-done tournament, or do they play that you can lose one, okay, and then you still continue to play?
So at the beginning you have group play. And in group play, what happens is you're in a group with three other teams. You play a match against every other team.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, you get points per match. You get 3 points for a win, you get 1 point for a draw, and you get 0 points for a loss. Mm-hmm. The two teams with the most points continue on to the knockout rounds. It's, you know, the round of 16s, just like, you know, your bracket and NCAA Madness.
Yeah.
Same as that. So, and this is a really tough group to get out of. We are in the group with England, Armenia, no, not Armenia, sorry, Algeria, Slovenia, and us. And Slovenia and Algeria are playing surprisingly tough. Nobody really expected much out of them, and they're playing hard. And we managed to pull a draw out of England. Now we get a draw against Slovenia. And so basically what it boils down to
is we tied a game we should have lost and tied a game we should have won.
Pretty much, yeah.
Huh.
So now we're at 2 points. England's at 2 points. Slovenia's actually at 4 points because they beat Algeria in the first game of the first game of the round.
Oh, that's right.
So we need to play Algeria.
Next, we're going to play Algeria.
And that's going to be, Monday, I think?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay.
Tuesday, we'll play Algeria, England will play Slovenia, and then we'll find out who's going to continue.
Well, wait a minute. Don't we have 4 points by your scoring mechanism? You said 3-4 win, 2-4 a draw, and then 1-4 a loss?
We should have 4 points because we drew against England, and we should have won today, but since they took away that goal,
should've,
we drew.
Should have, could have, would have. We got 2 points.
That's, we got 2 points instead of 4.
That's the bottom line.
So what we're looking at is against Algeria, basically, if we win, we're
in. Got to win.
If we win, we're in. That's the nice thing. We're still in control of our destiny. If we win, we're in. If we tie, that means England has to either tie or lose to Slovenia, and then we continue. If England wins and we tie, we're done.
And so, that's a game that the U.S. should win and England should win.
Yeah. Okay, so who are the odds-on favorites out of this tournament? Give me the top four. Do you have a top four there?
Well, for favorites, there's always the usual. I got Brazil. Everyone always expects Brazil to win this tournament every time they play it.
Yeah.
Every 4 years, Brazil's going to do it.
Would that be because of, who's that guy, Ronald?
Ronaldinho actually isn't on the team. This is part of the thing, is that
wow,
Brazil is strong enough.
The one soccer name I know, he's not even playing.
And here's the thing. Brazil is a strong enough team that they can cut Ronaldinho from their roster and still be good. He didn't make the cut. But Brazil played a match against North Korea, which nobody expected anything from. They're not a very good team. They barely squeaked into the tournament. And they beat them, but only 2-1, and it was pretty close, and they weren't looking that good. So we'll see what happens with
them.
Well,
you say only 2-1, but 2-1, I mean,
well,
that's the thing about soccer. I mean, like, 2-1 in any other sport, in baseball, that's no kind of odds. You know, if you're down 2-1, you're thinking, oh, we got this. You know, we can come back and score 2 runs and win 3-2.
Well, yeah, and in soccer, it's definitely different. But the thing is that Brazil is such a stacked team that they really should be, you know, they shouldn't be only winning by a single goal against a team like North Korea. Uh-huh. That's like, you know, that's like the Mariners losing to a single A baseball team. It's like,
that's possible this year.
Yeah, this is possible this year. So some of the other favorites, Spain was one of the massive favorites. I mean, they have a super stacked team, and everyone says they're going to go far. This is the best passing team you will ever see. I mean, they can pass the ball around, like, all day long, and just you'll never have possession against them, and then suddenly, bam, they'll be in goal.
But isn't passing a whole lot different from scoring? I mean, passing, you can pass all day long, like you said, but if you can't get it in the net.
Well, put it this way. If they have possession the entire game, how are you ever going to get a goal? Mm. So, you know, they play on a level different than everybody. But then again, they lost their first game. Nobody expected that against Switzerland. I mean, I remember hearing an interview at the U.S. Open after that game. Apparently all the Spanish players playing golf at the U.S. Open were just crushed because Spain lost to Switzerland. And I overheard this thing that one of the Spanish agents told one of the American agents, it's like, we can't lose to these guys. The Swiss make watches and chocolate, not goals, not soccer teams.
All right. So, folks, it's time for us to go into one of our breaks. The number to join in any fun, if you have any questions for either of us or our soccer guru, 253-584-1480. We will be back in 2 minutes.
Tired of playing Guitar Hero? You want to be a Guitar Hero? Or maybe you just got some business needs like mixing, mastering, video production, project productions, press kits, voiceovers, duplications, sound or lighting. Whatever it is, from head to toe, the boys down at Pacific Studios have you covered. The address, 2328 Pack Avenue. The phone number, 253-272-2010. Ask for Mark and tell him Tony sent you.
Chuck Boland. That's the way the ball bounces on 1180 AM KLAY.
What does it take to put on the Olympics? You need a committee of self-proclaimed leading citizens to attend cocktail parties, draw up plans, attend cocktail parties, put together elaborate promotional materials, and then attend cocktail parties. Then you need a gullible public to spend billions. You get that by appealing to their civic pride and using the fiction their lives will be improved by all the improvements, even if they can't pay for them. And finally, after you've won the right to bankrupt your city, you need a set of weird but whimsical mascots to serve as the symbol of the games, a symbol no one outside the committee will ever refer to again, which brings us to Wenlock and Mandeville. Remember the names because they're the mascots of the 2012 London Games. Let me try to describe these hideous creatures. Think of a pair of one-eyed gumbies waving their stubby arms while they gyrate their malformed bodies, guaranteed to make you buy them for your children, but only if you want to induce nightmares that'll last for decades. Remember the official mascot of the Athens get-together? I can't either. I could look it up on the internet, but they'd be as creepy as Wenlock and Mandeville, and I could do without the nightmares. This is Chuck Boland, and that's the way the ball bounces.
Oh yeah, we're back. We're not in the club. We're in the radio station studio. And I'm sitting across from my co-host, Pete, and our soccer guru, Dave. You're listening to The Sideline on 1180 KLAY. So, we were discussing the odds on favorites to win. That, as I've professed, I know zip-diddly-squat about soccer. I have no motivation to at this moment, but I'm going to make efforts to try to understand. Now, what I have seen on commercials, because I don't really watch the games too much, but I've seen commercials from watching other TV shows, and I just can't get away from the commercials. And the commercials say Germany is the team. They've been heavily favored through all this time, and they're probably going to win it all. Is that true?
Yes and no. Germany is kind of surprising me right now. See, the thing with Germany is right before the World Cup started, they lost their captain, a guy named Michael Ballack, who plays for a team called Chelsea in England. And Chelsea was playing for the FA Cup, which is sort of an inner, or it's a within the nation tournament. And he got fouled hard and broke his ankle. And suddenly they thought, they're not going to do any good. They can't win without Michael Ballack. He is sort of the soul of the team. He's a veteran. He's a guy who can lead these, because it's a very young team other than him. But they came out in their first game, and they won 4-0. I mean, they just blew the – I can't remember who they were playing. I want to say I completely forgot. But, yeah, they just blew them away. So everyone's like, okay, yeah, Germany's strong. They don't need Michael Ballack. Well, come today, actually – Germany lost to Serbia, which is one of the teams that everyone's going to beat. They were just kind of going to get stomped on. Suddenly, they lose. So, now there's questions about it. Honestly, what I think is the hottest team right now, the team to watch, is Argentina. Argentina, they are the only team that's won both their first games. They've already guaranteed a trip to the next rounds. They got a solid 1-0 win against Nigeria in their first round, which honestly doesn't sound that great, but believe me, the game wasn't that close. I mean, it probably should have been 4-5-0 in that game. They got the resounding blowout of South Korea a couple days ago at 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, they have the players. They have Lionel Messi's probably, arguably the best player in the world right now. I mean, this guy is amazing.
Who?
Lionel Messi.
Lionel?
Lionel Messi. You mentioned Ronaldinho before. Uh-huh. Wait, 5 years from now, Lionel Messi is going to be the guy.
Lionel.
Okay. Lionel.
Is he half Thundercat?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I'm just checking. You know, last I checked, the players had to be human. So.
And I also got a couple sleepers in here, some teams to watch. Mexico didn't look great in their opening match. They tied with South Africa, who aren't supposed to be a good team. In fact, the only reason they're in the tournament is because of their hosting, and that guarantees you in.
Really? South Africa?
South Africa, yeah.
I was just going to ask you what their odds are, because the last time they hosted a World Cup, it was the sport of rugby, and their local team, the Springboks, actually won it all. So I was going to say, like, are we going to see another host repeat thing going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I was hoping. I really felt for this team. I thought these guys were really great, and they had a great story behind them. But unfortunately, you know, they tied their first game, which was mm-hmm. amazing in and of itself, because Mexico, who's pretty strong. But then they lost to France, was it? No, it wasn't to France. I lost that one too. But they lost their second game pretty bad, 4-0 or 3-0. It's just not looking pretty for them.
I got to ask you something.
All right.
Why do they have to have their own little word for zero? Zero, zip, nada, nothing. It all means the same. Why must they say nil?
It's the language of the game. It's kind of like football. Why does it have to be yards? Why can't it be in feet?
Well, football is a game of inches.
There we go.
Booyah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
One of the other teams that I'm kind of looking out for is Ivory Coast. They're probably the strongest of
have a team?
They have a great team. In fact, they have probably what I think is the best striker in the world, a guy named Didier Drogba, mm-hmm. plays for Chelsea in England, and he led the Premier League in goals this year. Unfortunately, during one of the warm-up matches against Japan, he got his arm broken, and this is just 2 weeks ago. And so now you got like one of the best players in the world, not playing for the team, but they still played strong, and they look tough. They look like even without him, and he actually did come back to play part of that game, which just amazes me. I mean, I couldn't imagine a week and a half after having a broken arm getting in the middle of a soccer game with all the shoving and bumping and falling and everything. But he came back, and he had some good chances to make goals.
Okay, one other thing I want to know before we wrap up this World Cup series conversation is everyone knows and everyone loves to talk about winners and all that, but there's two sides to the game. Someone's got to lose. Who are the losers? Who is the one squad that really has no business in this tournament at all?
I got to say South Africa, and sad as it is, I really like them. I was really pulling for them, but they're just not playing at the level that everybody else is. And I think, yeah, they're not going to make it out of group play, which is unfortunate. They will be the first host nation in the history of the World Cup not to make it out of the World Cup.
That's going to suck because, you know, if you don't make it, normally you just got to go home. You're like, okay, I'll just go home. I ain't got to pay attention to it. You can't not pay attention to it because you are home.
Yeah, yeah. There, the party's in your backyard.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the South African fans are pretty much going to shift all of their loyalty to the other African teams: Algeria, Cameroon, Nigeria, and Ivory Coast, which I think they got a good chance. So.
So basically, one continent united under a soccer flag.
That's right.
Hey, if it works, it works. That is our World Cup coverage. We'd like to thank our soccer guru, Dave. We give you an applause. And once again, you have enlightened me and showed me a little bit more about interest for the sport of soccer. And so I would say my caring meter has gone up two itty bitty spaces. That's right, folks.
I'm glad I could do my part.
Well, Absolutely. If you are free to stick around, if you want, we're going to be discussing a little bit of baseball. We're going to just touch the Mariners, but right now we're going to get into our scoreboard report. And here we go, folks. Just a reminder that our scoreboard is brought to you by the Loose Wheel. The World Cup is underway, as we just talked about. You can catch all the games as well as Mariners games and all of the big motorsports on 20 HD TVs in the premier sports atmosphere in the Northwest. The Loose Wheel will have special hours for the World Cup and will be open for breakfast. This is on the weekends. Great menu, great staff, and great drinks. This is like the hat trick is what they call it in soccer. 50 pool tab games. Why would you ever go anywhere else, folks? I'm going to show you how to get there, tell you how to get there. The address is 6108 6th Avenue in Tacoma. Info for becoming a Pit Pass member. Their Pit Pass is infamously crazy for a good time. And you can find out that information at www.theloosewheel.com. Log on today. Petey, hook us up with the scoreboard, please.
Tacoma Rainiers open a season tonight in Portland. The last season, the last series ever against the Beavers, as the Beavers will be folding. The Rainiers are 33-32, just one game back of Salt Lake. They return to Cheney Stadium Tuesday to face the Bees in a very important series. Get your tickets to TacomaRainiers.com. The Mariners, winners of just three of their last 10 games, are now 13 games back in the AL West. At 25-41, interleague play continues tonight in Cincinnati. The M's return Tuesday for a brief three-game homestand against Lou Piniella's Chicago Cubs. Tacoma Tide basketball team dropped their second in a row last night against the Bellingham Slam. One home game left, that is this Saturday against the Central Oregon Hotshots. The Tide beat the Hotshots back on June 3rd and are looking for the series sweep. On the soccer side, the Tide run their unbeaten streak to six matches. They beat the Washington Crossfire 1-0 Wednesday night. The next match is Sunday at 3 p.m. at Curtis High School against the Victoria Highlanders. More information on basketball and soccer at TacomaTideSports.com. Speaking of soccer, the Seattle Sounders are 4-6-3, 18 points behind Los Angeles in the standings at the World Cup break in sixth place. Their next match is June 27th at Philadelphia.
They're coming back.
I doubt it. The Tacoma Cobras are 1-0 in regular season action after a 30-0 beating of the Thunderbolts last Saturday in Portland. Tacoma will put its high-powered attack on display tomorrow in the regular season home opener against the Bellingham Blitz. Kickoff is 7 p.m. at Curtis High School. Get your tickets at TacomaCobras.com or Tickets West.
So you said they'll come back. I will go on the record and say,
no,
if
they
come back, I will live on air sing that song, Welcome Back, from the show Welcome Back.
Let me wrap this up here real quick before Dave starts talking about soccer again. The NBA is done for the year, but Seattle is off to a great start in the WNBA. Sitting at 9-2, they hold a four-game lead over Phoenix in the Western Conference. They take to the court tonight in New York against the 4-5 Liberty. The Storm have the best record in the WNBA. You can get more info at WNBA.com/storm.
Okay, I got something to give away. We're gonna give away our Longhorn Barbecue Father's Day gift card.
Thank you. I'll take it.
All right. We're gonna give it away to our caller. We're not even gonna do a trivia. I want to make it super ultra easy for you guys. I will allow it to my guest host to pick a number between 1 and 10.
We'll go 6.
6. If you are caller number 6, we will go ahead and give you this Father's Day gift card from the Longhorn Barbecue located in Auburn. So, folks, our numbers to participate is 253 if you're local, 584-1480, or toll-free from King County at 253-804-5765.
We probably should have set that up with them out there so they know we're looking for caller number 6.
We will let them know. We'll run out there just a little bit. We're going to keep the calls in. We will find out who you are. All right. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Hey, it's Pete from the sideline. You know I have no problem giving my opinion, so here's another opinion just for you. The Sideline can make your next wedding, school dance, or any event more memorable. Call us up for info on our mobile DJ service and see what we can do for you. 253-292-7233. That's 253-292-7233. Or check us out online at www.onthesl.com. Bring the Sideline to you. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Man, not a whole lot. Trying to put together this stuff my girl bought, but I don't have the time or the patience.
Why don't you just call Northwest Services?
Who?
Northwest Services, the professional assembly guys, commercial or residential. They come out and assemble everything, whether it's lawn and garden equipment like mowers, carts, wheelbarrows, patio, home, or office furniture.
What's their number?
503-266-5833.
Man, thanks a lot. I'm going to call them right now.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg. Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
And we are back, folks. The final segment of the Sideline on KLAY 1180 AM, which is why you hear the final countdown music being played. We are going to get things started, but before that, I'm going to give you the numbers to join in on the fun. 253-584-1480. Toll free from King County. 253-804-5765. Pete, we're talking NBA.
We're talking
playoffs.
Basketball over for the year.
Over.
I was completely shocked by that, man. That blew me away. Of course, we both took the Celtics in six.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly thought that was going to happen.
Yep.
I thought maybe even the Celtics in seven after LA picked up game six, you know, but you didn't have the advantage of seeing the game last night. I did. I guess that's an advantage, but Boston came out, man, blowing them away. They led by 13 in the second half. And then a lot of the Celtics got into some foul trouble. L.A. came back, and that was it. L.A. didn't lead the game until midway through the fourth quarter, and that was all she wrote.
You know, never have I heard so much of a public outcry about people's opinions on a sport such as this, but I've heard a lot of it online, and not only from just people commenting on blogs and whatnot, but stars have gone on record saying that they honestly believe that the NBA Finals is rigged.
I don't see how they could say that.
Well, they believe that a lot of it is a money thing, which, you know,
for who, the league?
Yeah, for the league.
Because the players don't benefit one way or the other. The players get paid the same whether it's a four-game series or a seven-game series. They don't make additional money for playing games five, six, and seven.
They make incentives.
Nope. Their salary is flat. They make X number of dollars for making it to the finals. They make nothing else.
You make X amount of money for making it to the finals. You also get bonus incentives in your contract for performance.
Well, right, but it's not based on a fifth or sixth or seventh game. So
no,
they,
but the
they
more
make,
you play, the better, the more opportunities you have to meet certain criteria.
But the collective bargaining agreement is very particular that you cannot benefit from playing additional games past a four-game series. That's absolutely against every rule there is. Otherwise, the players would want every series to go seven games because they make more money. So it's completely against everything in the league and in the players' union that you cannot make more money for the additional games. You simply can't do it. Now, the league, however, certainly can. The arenas can, the teams can, and the league can, but not the players. So, you know,
and the cities that host these games as well. Yeah.
Right.
And the networks.
Oh, yeah.
That show
the game. Oh, man, the advertising dollars that they make. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So,
sick.
What I don't agree with is this format that they've constructed for the finals. The 2-3-2 method is just a death trap.
Right.
Because you give one team all their games in a block, a three-game block.
Right.
Okay, regardless of what your sport is, it's tough to win three consecutive games in a row.
Right.
Now, early on in playoffs and tournaments, it's a little bit easier because your talent level of the people you're playing with is far from yours, especially if you are a top seed. And excuse me, I just bit my tongue.
Well, for the longest time, though, T, it was 2-2-1-1-1, which is the natural way for an NBA. It's the way it should be.
Which is perfect because you break up the momentum from any one team just steamrolling.
Right.
And that's what it's designed to do. So if the home team holds serve, win the first two games, the lesser seed gets to go to their court, play their two games, and then have a chance to go back so that the team who just lost those two games, top seed, has a chance to go back to their home court, win again. And then it breaks that momentum to try to give the other guy a chance to win again.
Well, what it does is if the home team wins all the games, which in the NBA, you know, the home team is going to win most of the games. Mm-hmm. If the home team wins all of the games in the finals, it guarantees a seven-game finals because it's 2-3-2. So the first team is going to win the first and second, sixth and seventh games, and the other team is going to win, you know, 3-4-5. So it guarantees that seven-game series. So that I can see possibly being called a fix, even though it's not a fix. But, you know, they certainly should switch it back to a 2-2-1-1-1.
Yeah. That's what I think. Because it just seems a tad bit unfair, you know. So, looks like we have come to our two-minute warning. So we're going to wind down that conversation right there. I did want to ask you something. I know we're kind of midway into the baseball season.
Right.
But maybe we'll talk more about this next week. But I want to know about fantasy baseball, if it's worth it. Because you know me, fantasy football, I'm all about it. And we're going to be getting off into our fantasy football thing.
Did you get that email I sent you? I sent you an email, too, for Fox Fantasy Football. They're doing sign-ups right now for the upcoming season. I forwarded you an email that
I didn't get that yet.
We can do a custom league, so we should do that for our listeners.
Okay. We are going to have that. But it's time to do our wind-down and our two-minute warning, which is slimmed down to, I think, we have a minute left on this. So what's your plan for this week?
Well, I think Saturday we're definitely going to do the Tacoma Cobras game
because
we're obviously doing the sound and the PA announcing. That's 7:00 at Curtis High School. Other than that, I think it's pretty wide open. The Mariners are on the road. The Rainiers are on the road till Tuesday. They come back to play Salt Lake. I guess we have the plans that we talked about. Mm-hmm. But other than that, that's it. Should get out to Loose Wheel. Maybe refreshing our air hockey rivalry.
Definitely we should. Tonight, there's a lot of good movies out. Will Smith's son, The Karate Kid movie, is out.
I want to see that.
Mm-hmm. And also, I just had a chance to see a stellar movie. I wouldn't even mind going to the theaters and seeing it again. That was... What?
Well, I'm waiting. I'm on the edge of my seat with anticipation.
Yeah, here. So was I. That was a very good movie that I saw. I might go back and see that one. But then leads me to
Which
Saturday.
Which one was it?
Sunday. Well, hold on. Sunday. We have Father's Day coming up.
Right.
We won't be on the air, so we'll just say, hey, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there and all the, I guess, would-be or should-be dads.
But not the deadbeat dads.
We'll give you a notable mention.
If you're a deadbeat dad, I'm not saying happy Father's Day to you at all.
Yeah. So, that's that. I will be at the Longhorn Barbecue.
There you go.
7:30. They have that dueling piano show there. Check online. I'm going to be blogging about it. I've been there. Fun time. My experiences. We're going to take pictures. It's Sunday. Join us there. Happy Father's Day, people.
Happy
this
Father's
is the
Day.
Sideline on 1180 AM KLAY. We are out. See you next Friday, 3 o'clock.
Keeping you informed, this is KLAY, Lakewood, Tacoma, your conversation station.